Scottish Office announced the latest figures for the number of children under the age of 16 being referred to children's panels. There's no doubt that the figures are showing a marked upward trend, but there are also changes in the kind of problems the panels are having to cope with, both in assessing children's needs and finding the resources to cope with them. Anne Bates has been looking at the work of the children's panel in Highland Region and at how they're adjusting to a changing society and its associated problems.
Children under 16 can be referred to panels for all sorts of reasons. They don't have to have committed a criminal offence. Often their referral is because of a continuing failure to attend school, because their parents can no longer control them, or because they themselves are in danger of having offences committed against them. For whatever reason, the child may need some form of compulsory care or legal supervision, and this is where the reporter to the children's panel comes in. Once the child has been referred, it's the reporter's obligation to thoroughly investigate the allegations and to decide on the best way to meet the needs of the child in question. Peter Ferguson is deputy reporter to the children's panel in Highland Region, and the needs of the child are very much their first priority.
One of the ways in which a child's need may be met is by referring that child to a children's hearing, who are the tribunal who discuss the matter with the child and parents and who may impose supervision. But the reporter can also dispose of that referral in other ways. He can refer a child who's said to have committed an offence back to the police for a police warning. And this is something we find very effective in dealing with the vast majority of children who offend. The reporter may decide after investigating the matter that he need take no formal action because more usually the parent has taken all the action that's necessary to make sure that the child's welfare is secure. Alternatively, the reporter may refer the matter back to the social work department with whom we work for voluntary measures of care where the problem is recognised and can be met on an agreed basis and worked through.
The latest figures on referrals released by the Scottish Office show an increase of 1,500 between the years of 1983 and 1984, the second highest figure recorded since the hearing system began in 1971, and Highland Region are mirroring this trend.
Yes, they are increasing, not dramatically, one must say, but the trend is certainly upwards. Again, one must be careful in interpreting this figure. An upward trend can mean two things. First of all, there are perhaps more reason for referring children. And secondly, that people are perhaps just more willing to refer children. And it's very difficult to actually find out what is the cause for this rise. There certainly doesn't seem to be a major rise in juvenile crime. And what we're seeing is a rise in the number of referrals, as I've said before, of children who are perhaps being abused or neglected. And this may account for the majority of the rising figures. What I'm certainly not seeing is that this rise means that there are more children being abused or neglected. I think the rise is much more to do with the fact that people are more willing to tell us about abused or neglected children. One consequence of this is that, for instance, the young child who is being neglected or whose parents can't cope may need a time out of the house. And so we've seen a corresponding rise in the proportion of children on supervision who are not on supervision at home.
And how do you cope with that? Have you got the resources to cope with that?
Well, I think, as in many fields, when you expand resources, there is a corresponding expansion of the need for these resources, so one never matches another. However, I certainly know that the efforts made by the Social Work Department to, say, increase the number of foster homes available has been very successful, and that they are correspondingly being used on a more regular basis. This means that a number of children who in the past may have had to have gone to a residential home or a children's home are now able to be fitted into other families, which I think most people agree is far less disturbing for a child who has to be removed from home.
But how successful is this move towards foster care in dealing with children in difficulties? Sandy Glass, Deputy Chairman of Highland Region's Children's Panel, and James Dick, Senior Deputy Director of Social Work, differ slightly in their opinions. Mr. Dick is in no doubt about its success.
Very, very successful indeed. What we have been trying to do recently is to integrate older children into a fostering situation. We're still not where we had hoped we might have been, and it really is down to us to recruit more people able to take older children into their homes.
Now, the children that they're dealing with could be described as difficult sometimes. How easy is it for you to recruit people to take on this task?
Well, we have a special scheme of community carers, and we certainly have been able to develop that quite well. There are difficulties, of course. Not everyone is prepared to take on some of the children we have to place with foster homes. But nevertheless, we've been very, very successful. I think what has happened is that the panels themselves are using foster placements more frequently than before, and I think this is a trend that will continue. And obviously we need to recruit more people able to accommodate children in their own homes. That would certainly be one of our aims.
Could I turn to you, Mr. Glass? How easy is it for the hearing to decide whether a child should be placed into foster care?
Well, I would make the point that more often than not, it's not easy to reach the best decision in the interest of the child. But there's no doubt that in many cases, if a suitable foster family can be found, then that is in the best interest of the child, to get the child kept in the community and to lead as normal a life as possible. One of the things that does concern the panel is that, at least in certain parts of the region, there has been a tendency for foster placements to break down maybe too frequently. I would hope that in the future that will become less of a hazard, because with new legislation, the children's hearings are themselves going to be more involved in the process of matching a family to a child, so that the panel will have a certain responsibility, along with the social work department, to ensure that the chances of the foster placement working are indeed at least more than average.
So are you saying at the moment that the social work department deal with that and it's out of the panel's control?
At the moment that has been the way it has worked, but that is about to change.
Is that something you welcome, Mr. Dick, this change in the...
Yes, indeed. I think that the regulations themselves have done quite a lot towards tightening up on procedures that are around and were around, and I think the involvement of the panel does augur well for us. If I can just come back to one point made by Mr. Glass, and that was in relation to the breakdowns in fostering. We are certainly aware of this situation. In fact, I had a discussion with panel members in Rosshire not so very long ago, and this topic was certainly one that was raised from the audience there. What we are trying to do is really to help foster parents understand more effectively what they are being asked to cope with. Now, we're doing this basically two or three different ways. Largely, though, we're trying to involve staff from our own children's centres who cope with children with the similar needs almost every day of their working lives. And they have developed certain expertise, levels of knowledge and skills, and we hope that these will be passed on to the foster parents, and hopefully, in meeting with them ourselves, in a training-type session, that we would be able to help cope a little bit more effectively.
Could I just put it to you, is it not a cheap alternative to residential care, this fostering idea?
It may well turn out to be cheaper at the end of the day. That is probably so. I would not, however, like it described as a cheap alternative. Our policy is really to try and retain children in the Highlands in their own communities for as long as possible. And our experience and certain knowledge we've gained is that foster homes tend to offer that opportunity more readily than other placements.
Over the past few years, there's been a move to close down a number of List D schools in Scotland, a policy which reduces the options available to children's panels. Although there aren't any List Ds in the Highland area, a number of referrals from the Highlands found places at schools in the south of Scotland. So as Peter Ferguson explains, the closures have had their effect in the north.
Yes, I think in the past, if you were talking about the 70s, then there were a considerable number of children from Highland region who were in List D schools, both, let us say, locally, that means Aberdeen, or further south. Now, the number being placed in List Ds has certainly dropped quite dramatically. We're almost into single figures, as far as I know, at the present time. But there is no doubt that concern has been expressed that by cutting the number of listed places so dramatically, the types of school that are now available are very much reduced, and it can become harder to match a particular child with the type of school that may do him most good.
Sandy Glass is also certain of the detrimental effect of List D closures, and he feels it's left a gap in the options available for children.
At one time it might have been possible, if it was felt that a List D placement was the most appropriate placement to meet the child's needs, then it might have been possible to try and identify a List D school which provided the right kind of background training for the individual child. Whereas now, as far as Highland Region is concerned, we are very restricted where we can send these children. Boys at the moment might go to Oak Bank in Aberdeen, and girls to Ballinacraig. Now and again, if secure accommodation were necessary, it might have to be at Rossy Farm School near Montrose. But we feel that, that there has been a loss here.
Mr. Dick, have you got an alternative in Highland Region at all for children that can't be educated in ordinary schools?
Well, apart from the Kinmalies Children's Centre at the moment, which will be transferred fairly shortly to Fern Tosh, I would have to say the answer to that is no. Certainly what Mr. Glass says is the case. Three List D schools fairly recently closed down in the south of Scotland, and that obviously reduces what is available to the panel members. I think how it leaves us now is to provide alternatives in the region. I certainly see that operating through the medium of our children's centres, our community carers and our foster homes. Now, this needs to be worked together. There is a certain amount of partnership and sharing of caring going on already. But we need to develop this further. Of that much, I'm certain. And we need to go on doing this. Certainly, the placements available now are fewer than they were previously, and as Mr. Glass says, we are left with an alternative in Oak Bank in Aberdeen, perhaps in Montrose, and for girls in Perth. I would hope, though, that in the main we would cope with our own children in Highland Region, and that would be our main aim. That is our aim, but I do accept there will be special needs around for us to cater for, and I think these will require to be met out with the region. I can only hope that these will be few in number.
Nevertheless, the panel members are concerned, and at the moment they're conducting their own survey of facilities available. And they believe that when the results are announced in August, they will show up shortfalls in the system. One problem facing the panels, which no one could predict, and which requires its own very special handling, is that of the problem of sexual abuse of children. Peter Ferguson has seen the increase in the number of referrals of children in danger in Highland Region.
This is a trend that's been noticeable for 2 or 3 years now, that an increasing number of children are being referred as being victims of sexual abuse, both majority of them by, unfortunately, adults in their family. Now, this is clearly one area where one cannot say that it's happening more often, but one can clearly see the fact that adults and other agencies are now becoming more aware of it as a possibility. It seems clear that before, a child who complained, for instance, that she might be being sexually abused by a parent was often disbelieved, or that the signals that child gave to adults were not recognised. And what we're seeing now are agencies, the police, social work departments, schools, becoming very much more aware that a child may be being abused by her parents, no matter how respectable the family. And consequently, an increasing number of children are coming to our attention. These cases cause considerable difficulty in dealing with them. They are the most emotionally engaging cases, and also there are considerable difficulties on the legal side. But nevertheless, I think Highland is in fact giving a lead in its method of dealing with these cases, and the opportunity we're giving to children to speak out and be protected.
Can I ask you in what way Highland Air are leading the field in this?
Well, there are a number of us, and I must include myself here, who have taken a particular interest locally in the problems created by sexual abuse of children. And what we're doing is to try and give as much publicity to the problem amongst interested agencies as we can. And what we're finding is that the more we can talk to the various agencies like schools, social workers, the more able they are and more equipped they are to recognise that sometimes the very subtle signs that children give which require further investigation, and this investigation may then lead to the discovery that the child's being sexually abused. We have also taken certain initiatives to try and act as quickly as possible to give these children immediate protection and support, because they do come under great pressure once they have revealed that they're being sexually abused. Often their families don't believe them, and one can appreciate the difficulty that a child may go through having made an allegation and, if you like, being turned on by their own family and being called liars. So we've tried to create, let's call, programmes and support which would allow these children to see this great period of turmoil through, hopefully to a happy ending, or at least a successful ending. In discussion of sexual abuse, much has been made of trying to rehabilitate the abuser. Unfortunately, our feeling and our experience in this region is that that is rarely, if ever, possible. So we do tend to concentrate on protecting the child, and all our efforts really are child-orientated, although other members of the family, perhaps the mother, the other children in the family, also need our consideration, and they do get that.
Peter Ferguson. So the problems facing the children's panels are many and varied, but perhaps the greatest of all are the cutbacks in spending on social work and the inevitable cut in resources available. I asked James Dick and Sandy Glass if these cuts were actually causing suffering to the children they were trying to help.
That would be very difficult to quantify at this stage. I think I would like to come back and tell you in August, once we have completed our survey. I think there are possibly some children who are suffering. I would hope it would be a fairly small number, but I'm sure there are some who are not benefiting from the system as much as they might. And this produces, I think, some of the frustration that you will find among panel members if you speak to them.
Mr. Dick.
Yes, it is very difficult to quantify. I certainly agree with that statement. Having said that, though, it's like a lot of other things in business. When you are left with facing the realism of the situation, you have to find alternatives. And sometimes these alternatives turn out to be more appropriate to meet the needs of that situation. Now, we have some way to go. I must admit that. But having said that, we are on the right course, and we're certainly heading in the right direction.
That report on the work of the children's panels in tonight's Homefront was compiled by Anne Bates.
Now, the two were remanded.